this game is a lot about consequences. So if you do poorly on a roll, that specific one, the net friends roll, you can like burn bridges. You can suddenly lose contacts that you had before.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
We have a new systems episode this week, this month, which I'm excited about. It's going to be cool. We will be talking about Monster of the Week with Susanna Lewis, the GM of the Thornvale podcast. Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
Good. We are very happy to have you on here and super excited to hear about this system.
Yeah, it's a super fun one, so I'm happy to gush about it.
Cool. I'm very excited. All right, so Monster of the Week. I guess to start off, what is kind of the elevator pitch for the system?
Yeah, so it's a system that lets you play games in the Monster of the Week genre. So if you like television shows like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Supernatural, this is the game for you. And it lets you do that sort of, I mean, Monster of the Week is what it's called, you know, like it's those kinds of things that inspire this game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a really, really simple game. So if you're new to RPGs, it's really easy to get into. Like I have three players on the show, and two of them had never played any kind of RPG beforehand.
Oh, wow.
So they launched right in. They were really, it was really easy to make their characters and all that kind of thing. So, you know, I guess that'd be your kind of elevator pitch.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Always down for easy for one, but also being able to swap out the monsters like that, because I think that appeals to a lot of people, mm-hmm. especially with it not being like the same thing kind of over and over.
Yeah. The cool thing about it, another one of the cool things about it is you don't need a ton of dice. Like if you don't want to like go out and get dice, or you don't want to use like an online roller, you probably have a D6 somewhere and it only uses two D6s. And that's how you make all of your rolls. If it's six, or if you roll a six or below, it's a failure. If you roll a 7 to 9, it's a mixed success, which are really fun, by the way. And if you roll a 10 or above, it is a full success and you get to do basically whatever you want to do without a lot of repercussions.
But cool.
Consequences nice. Are a big thing in this game.
Nice. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about kind of the rules in general for the system?
Sure. So there are, I'm trying to remember exactly how many there are, because there are just a couple of moves for your characters. So you have, I'm going to see if I can remember all of them. I probably won't be able to. If you listen to Thornvale, you'll eventually get through all of them. So there's kick some ass, act under pressure. There's so many. Use magic, help out, protect someone. I think there's like 8 core rules. Investigate a mystery and read a bad situation. Or I think that may be 7. Anyways, but there's only so many rules, and each of them use a different. What's the term for it? They use a different stat that you have. So mm-hmm. you have charm, cool, and sharp. And I think that's all of them.
Wow.
So for instance, like an act under pressure role, if you wanted to say like, oh, I want to go climb that tree, I'd say, okay, act under pressure. And you would roll and you would see, you would roll plus, oh, tough. Tough is the other one. I missed tough. So for act under pressure, you would roll plus cool. So you would add your cool modifier to it. And it's somewhere between 1 and 3. So if you roll, say you roll a 6 and then you add your modifier and you get 2. And so now you have an 8. So you have a mixed success. So you're going to get to climb your tree now, but something might happen. There will be a consequence for not like really well climbing that tree. You might like twist your ankle, for instance. I had a player, for instance, on a kick some ass roll. Which is rolled plus tough. That's like the fight roll. If you want to fight someone, if there's a chance that you're fighting someone and they might be able to fight you back, you roll kick some ass, basically. That's basically what it is. And I had a player one time that rolled a mixed success, and he got to tackle the guy that he was chasing, but he also got punched in the face. And here's the biggest thing. You have 7 hit points total. If you get 8, you die. So each thing does a couple of harm, but if harm is like the damage in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but it's such a fun game, but it's so simple because there's only these 8 rolls. You just tell the GM or the keeper, they're called the Keeper of Monsters and Mysteries, which is a great name.
That is a fantastic title.
You tell the keeper what you want to do, and they tell you the appropriate roll for it, and then you just do it. It's a very narrative type game. There's not a lot of combat, which is good because you can very, very easily die.
Yeah.
I've had the very first monster we did. Remember, there's 7 hit points. He had one move. He had one attack move that did 4 damage.
Ooh.
And there's things you can do to mitigate that. Like you can have armor that takes off a point every time you get hit. So you'll only take like 1 point of damage. Our tanky guy has like 2 points of armor. So he took that hit and only took 2 points of damage, but he did it protecting the guy that was already down to 3. And he's gonna die if he got hit by that. But
wow.
Yeah. It's super fun. It's a dangerous game, and it's made so that you can find ways of making more characters. Like there's actually a move when you level up, you can actually like get another character that you can have like as a backup. So I think you can only control one at a time, but you can like have this extra character. It's like, oh, I just have this pre-made guy that's going to go, and just in case I die, I've got this guy. Or say you need someone that for a specific thing that has like specific powers that you need, you can say, oh, I'll use this guy instead.
Hmm.
Huh. So it's a really fun game. The level ups are really interesting because each of the different, they're called playbooks, which they're kind of like classes in other RPGs. And each of the playbooks has different types of things that you can do. But if you hit a certain level up, you can take moves from other playbooks too. So you don't just have to pick just from yours, but you can only have like a select number from those.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah. I see Joe's gears are turning.
I'm trying to wrap my head around this. This is crazy. I like it though.
It's so fun.
Walk us through like a basic character creation. How does that work in this game?
So you buy the book, you go through the book. The first thing it's gonna show you is a bunch of playbooks. And these are different like character archetypes that you'll find in all sorts of these Monster of the Week shows. So for instance, on Thornvale, we have a Flake. The Flake is like the tech savvy type guy. But as his name suggests, he's also kind of flaky. You cannot increase your charm as the Flake. So you'll never become better at talking to people.
That's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. Each of them, for each of the different playbooks, there's one stat that you can't increase as your level up until you level up. I think you have to level up like 5 times and you get the advanced level ups, and then you can increase that stat once. So if you start off with -2 charm, you're going to have to deal with having -2 charm. I don't know if you can start off with -2 charm. I think you can start off with -1, but either way, like that's something that could happen. You have to keep in mind. Each of the different playbooks has like there's like 3 stat blocks that you can choose. So you just kind of want like how you want to customize it if you want to. Mm-hmm. And then they have a long list of moves that they have that are their special thing. So for instance, if we're using the Flake as an example, the Flake has a move called Net Friends, where you can call up your friends on the internet and try to get them to help you out for different things. And obviously like that's something you have to roll for. I believe it's a charm roll, unfortunately, for our poor guy. That's -1 charm.
Oh, poor dude.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. And the thing is, this game is a lot about consequences. So if you do poorly on a roll, that specific one, the Net Friends roll, you can like burn bridges. You can suddenly lose contacts that you had before. So you have to be really careful.
Oh no.
Ouch.
Yeah, so what you do is you pick whatever archetype looks interesting. Some of the ones off the top of my head, there's the expert, the professional, which is like a professional monster hunter. I think that's what Bjorn is. He's one of our characters. You can pick the spooky, which is like a a spooky character. Yeah, you can be like a witch or whatever that. You can be the monstrous if you want to be a monster. You know, like you can be a vampire or a werewolf or whatever swamp thing you want to be. So you can do that, you know. But there's a bunch of ones, and then there's expansions too, which have like slightly different rules of ones. I think they just came out with one. This is made by a company called Evil Hat, and they did an expansion called The Tome of Mysteries. If you want to know more about that, the show The Crit Show did a really good one after. I'm trying to remember. I think it was after their like episode 50 or something. They did like a side quest with the Tome of Mystery. So you can find out more about those. I don't know too much about them because I haven't bought that book yet. I think it's out now. If not, it's on pre-order. But so you go through the original ones, and there's so many choices that you can do. Like every time I was reading through, I was like, oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to do that. And I'm like, ah, crap, I'm the keeper. I can't do any of them. So we have a flake, which is like the flaky tech guy. We have a professional who is like a professional monster hunter with a agency. He's like a government agency that he goes out and hunts monsters for. And then we also have the initiate, which is a like a cult person. So they're like they're part of like a monster hunting cult.
Oh wow.
So and you can customize these things. Like the game will ask you, oh, what is your agency like? You get to pick like a bad thing that your agency is, you like for part of it, you have to pick something bad that is like an aspect of your agency and something good. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the cult one. But you can customize it so much. And if you want to, you can make your own like character class entirely. Like the show I mentioned before, The Crit Show did that. They have one guy that's called the science guy. It was like a combination of a couple of different ones, but they just made a whole new playbook just so they could play the way they wanted to.
That's fantastic. Wow.
Yeah.
I really like that. I enjoy those sort of classes, I guess, playbooks, yeah. As you will.
Playbooks, yeah.
All right. So, Monster of the Week, it has to have some really cool monsters, right?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a few in the book that you can like use as like a base thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it tells you like you can use, hey, there's this witch, and it gives you like a storyline basically that you can follow. Mm-hmm. But you can also make up any of your own. Cool. I can't tell you. I don't want to tell you for mine what my monsters are, mostly because we've only been through one so far.
Spoilers.
I don't want to tell you, just in case. You said you were listening enough. To it, so I don't want to spoil it. But yeah. That one gets discovered pretty quickly. The other one, it took them so long to figure out. We just finished recording the second full arc, and it took them forever to figure out what it was. And then figuring out how to kill it was really hard. But that's the thing about the monsters is whatever monster you think up a couple of moves. You think up defenses if it's got any supernatural moves, good lord, and then you have to think of a weakness, and if your people can't discover this weakness, you can't kill the monster. You could like get it down to zero, but then it would escape and it would get away and it would come back recharged. Have to discover each monster's specific weakness, or else you can't defeat it entirely.
Wow. All right. So yeah. If I can make up whatever sort of monster I'm thinking of, is there rules within the system that I need to follow to be able to make them, I guess, balanced, if you will?
Yeah, there's a couple of guidelines that they give you, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, if I reminded the NPCs, not the NPCs, the player characters, the PCs have like 7 points of harm, and if you get 8 you die, right?
Right.
So it recommends, I think the base is like you should say, oh, let's say your monster has like 9. My very first monster had 12, I think.
Oh my.
So you think like, oh, that's not very much, but you remember every time this monster hits someone it can do a couple of points of damage, and if you're not careful, you could very easily, before you get the chance to kill the monster, you know, it could definitely kill you first. So that was a lot. I think the game says specifically don't do more than 14 because that's excessive.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
because the players stay very balanced, even though they get better. The most points you can add to your roll is 3. And that's a lot. That can turn like, you know, a roll of, you know, 4 into a roll of 7. So instead of being a complete failure, it's a mixed success. And that's a lot, but the players never get like super, super powerful. Like you don't get like God tier like you get in D&D. They stay like people, basically.
Right. That's cool. Yeah. I like that concept.
Yeah. You can get different superpowers, but you can never have more than 3 armor. So if you've got a monster that does 4 every time you hit it, or every time it hits you, you're still going to get a point every time. If it does more than that, you can get more points. You can make your monster have a specific move that does, you know, like 6. I don't recommend that. That's not a good idea. I think 4 is about the most I would ever do, just because that's like mean.
Yeah, no
it's
kidding.
Like any more than that, it's like rude. It's just like you're instantly going to kill your hunters in like a hit or two. And one of the things the book tells you when you read through it is it's like your job is to challenge your players, but you're supposed to be a fan of the players. You know, like you don't want to be like super, super mean, because then it's not fun.
Yeah.
And like I said, a lot of it isn't like combat related. It's like hunting down the monster, like finding the monster, following clues. I forget the original question. was it how does the monster stay balanced? Is that what it was?
Yeah, which you answered. And it was
I think I answered more or less. I love this game. I love talking about it.
Oh.
So how does one of the games typically begin and kind of flow?
Sure. So one of the things that you learn in making the monsters is there's a thing called the countdown. So the countdown is a list of, I think, 7 events. And these are things that will happen if the hunters don't intervene. So say you have a vampire. So on the first event, the vampire goes out and sucks the blood of a person walking through a park at night. And so that would be maybe the inciting incident that would get like your hunters get on the road and get going. And then next, the vampire is going to go suck somebody else's blood. And that would be a really simple one. It would just be like, oh, you're going to kill someone every night or something like that.
Yeah.
I usually go a little more complicated than that, but actually, a good point to put out here, I have something on our website that is called the Monster Resource, which is every monster we do, I'm posting what I call the Monster Playbook, which is basically all of the stats of the monster and the countdown. So if you want to play this monster, you can go on our website and check it out.
That's cool.
It's thornvillepodcast.com, but yeah. We only have the first one up because, like I said, we just started. Only the first monster we have finished. But if you don't want to spoil yourself, you know, listen to the podcast first. It's only like 6 episodes, the first monster. Right. But yeah, so you have this list that you make up ahead of time of what you're going to do, of what you're going to do through the monster. And you just go down the list. You know, what you want to do is you want to make the countdown, you want to make the stats of the monster, and then you want to have like some NPCs and like locations that you can use. And otherwise, mm-hmm. like, I don't know what my players are going to do. Like, I never know. Like, they do stuff. There was a thing that happened in, it's an episode that's not out yet, but one of my players did something that I was just like, excuse me? What now? So like, I plan pretty extensively. Like, I write out bits and pieces of the story. I write out things that will happen if the players do this, you know, like I have a very long, I have like a several page detailed, you know, storyline that I expected to go, but like I've deleted pages of storyline before just because like, okay, well, I didn't see that coming. So.
Right. Right. Oh.
And then of course the players may want to go somewhere that I haven't even thought of, you know, like, for instance, in that same episode, they're like, oh, I have an idea. Where do we need to fight this monster? Let's go to like a park. I'm like, I didn't plan for a park. How about a skate park? That's empty. I don't have to design too much of that.
Oh, that would be fun though. I want to go to a skate park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in episode 11, I think, It's either it's 11 or 12. They fight a monster in a skate park. The first one was in a similarly named state park.
But that is very close.
Yeah. Some monsters go all over the place. Some stay confined to their little area.
Yeah.
My show takes place on an island, or two islands, technically. That's part of one town. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're kind of confined to that little area. But if you wanted to, like, you could go, like, Supernatural style and go, like, to all different, like, parts of the United States or all different parts of the world if you wanted to. I just didn't want to deal with that. So I made my specific little town.
That's neat. So you have this countdown of events that happens for the monster. How do these countdown, how do they trigger?
Usually it's like it could be like a time-based thing. It's like these are the things that are going to happen if the hunters don't intervene, basically.
Right.
So, I usually do it as a time-based thing. So like this one night, this is going to happen. And then the next couple of hours, this is going to happen. For instance, this is something I can say because the episode is out, but one of the monsters kills somebody. They say you have 12 hours to live. So you've got that countdown. Like the monster informs the person that they're going to die, and then 12 hours later they kill them. That episode may not be out until Friday.
Hmm. I may have lied,
but it's okay.
That's all right. That's okay.
It's not a major spoiler.
So it's all good. Yeah.
I didn't tell you what the monster was. I did spoil my husband on it. Like 2 days before we started filming or we started recording.
I accidentally
blurted out the name of the monster.
Oh, wow.
So he knew what it was the whole time. And then the other two players hadn't figured it out. And it took them forever to figure it out. So we're just sitting there going like, could you please figure out what it is so I can say the name of this monster? And then I designed the next one so that the name comes up like immediately. Because I didn't want to deal with it. There's so much freedom in this game. Like you could make a monster really hard to find out. I designed the first one because I wanted it to be kind of like a stepping into the kiddie pool kind of mystery. The first one is deadly, but it's very obvious. Like it's pretty clear from the get-go, like what this monster is. And it's not like super impossible to figure out how to kill it, you know, like that kind of thing. The second one is like a true, like super mystery. Like it took them a long, long time to figure out how to kill it. They figured out what it was long before they tried to kill it, which was a problem, let me tell you. Just because you know what a monster is doesn't mean you know how to kill it. And if you don't know how to kill it, then it's just going to keep coming back and causing problems and keep going down that countdown I told you about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So what is your favorite aspect of the system?
I think it really is the freedom. Like I'm a writer, so I'm like a natural, you know, like a storyteller, you know. So I like to tell the story. So for instance, like in Thornvale, it's based off of a book that I wrote or a book series that I wrote. And the game lets you do that. Like you can change different little rules around to make it so that it's different. So for instance, in our world, magic is extremely dangerous. If you're not like an innately magical creature, which two of them are, thankfully, then it's very corrupting. So, but that's something that wasn't in the game before, but it was something that I could put in there. And it works with the playbooks. Like, for instance, some of the playbooks have specific, they have specific like consequences for using magic. So if you're not like in our world, if you're not an innately magical creature, then using magic is dangerous. So that's a thing to keep in mind for the players. Also, I gave them dragon powers because that's the way. I don't know if I mentioned it, but the game is based off of a book series I wrote. That's the Dragon Knights series, which is about a bunch of people with dragon powers who fight monsters in a different part of the world because I didn't want them interacting.
That's cool.
But it's so flexible because there are only those really like core rules. There's like just the couple of moves that you can do. And obviously there's no like special attack. Like you can say, oh, I want to hit the monster with a 2x4. And like, okay, well, let's say the 2x4 has 2 harm. Like you just decide it off the top of your head. There's little tags that you can add to things, you know, just to like formalize it a bit more. But in the last story, they had to make their own weapon so they could kill the monster. So like, and that wasn't something that was in the game before. There's a couple of weapons that are in the game that you can like look at and go, oh, okay. So we'll say it works like the crossbow, or we'll say it works like the revolver or whatever like that.
Yeah. Right.
So I just love the freedom to tell whatever kind of story we want to tell. That's my favorite thing about it.
That sounds awesome.
It's super fun. You should play it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be great fun.
I'll come back. I'll come back and run a one shot for you guys sometime if you want.
Oh hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously. Cool. Any other questions, Joe?
How does leveling up work?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. So leveling up in this game is actually really cool, and I'm surprised I didn't think about it, talk about it before. But so the way you gain experience is by failing. In this game, if you roll a fail roll, you get a point of experience. So every time you roll a failure, if you don't do something to like change it, like there's certain like help out rules that you could like use to change it. But if you roll a failure, then you get a point of experience, and every 5 points of experience, you get to level up. And each character book, each playbook tells you what kinds of level ups that you can do. So that's how you level up in this game. And I just love it. You gain experience by just sucking. And let me tell you, my characters gained experience a lot in the first mystery. There's also we don't use it anymore because it was making my characters level up too quickly. But there's also you can do like highlighted roles, which is a somewhat confusing part of the system. And I don't really care about it anymore because we don't use it. I don't know of any other Monster of the Week podcast that use the highlighted roles either. We did it in our first one and I was like, nah, I'm not doing that anymore. But it's basically like you pick roles, you pick like certain stats, say you want to highlight your tough, then every time you roll tough you get experience. And I didn't like that. I like the idea that you only gain experience when you fail.
Yeah, I like that too.
Plus you can just spam tough rolls and then gain a ton of experience. Exactly. And that's just kind of cheating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cheapens it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It does. Awesome. Wow. This sounds like an awesome system.
It's so fun.
I have a feeling I would level up very quickly in this system.
Too.
It's been really funny because the episodes have either gone all of the roles fail or all of the roles do really well. There's been one episode and we made a joke about it where like everything was super average. It was like they kept getting like mixed successes instead of successes and failures. And so we're like, oh, we should just call this the very average episode. I didn't call it that, but I almost did. My husband came up with the name. It was our last episode. It was called Hit and Run because people kept getting hit by things and there was a hit and run car crash.
Oh, I like that. That's great. Awesome. Well, if people want to find out more about you, your podcast, the system, where can they find all of that information?
Sure. So, you can go to our website. It'll have all of our episodes, which is Thornvale Podcast or thornvalepodcast.com. And then we are on Twitter at ThornvaleCast. We're on Instagram at ThornvalePodcast and Facebook at Thornvale Podcast. Twitter didn't have enough words to let me be consistent.
That's fair. So. Yeah.
Didn't darn have enough letters, Twitter. That's the word. So... You can find us on pretty much like every like listening. If there's a platform we aren't on, let me know and I'll get us onto it. But I'm working on getting us onto iHeartRadio. But we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts, iTunes. The main platform we go through is Anchor, and that's our like distribution. That's our distribution platform. So it goes there first, and then over a couple of hours it goes out everywhere else. So if you want to get it first, go to Anchor, and I usually post before I say I'm going to because I want it to like distribute, good lord, out to all the other people. So I say I post at 5, but I usually post it like 2 or 3 in the afternoon instead.
Awesome.
But yeah, so Anchor, cool. Anchor's like our like main hub, but you can follow us, you know, on other social media, and I always post about when we do stuff, little production updates and memes.
Fantastic.
It's really hard to find Monster of the Week memes, actually.
You gotta start making your own.
I know.
There
right?
you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I love talking about this system, so I'm happy to come on and, like I said, gush about Monster of the Week. It's such a blast to play.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod.
Also, Kraken Dice. If you're looking for some awesome new dice, you don't have to look any further. Just go check them out, krakendice.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at Kraken Dice. And then when you find your dice that you have to have, use the code MAGE. And get yourself 10% off, because who doesn't like 10% off?
And of course, last but not least, SoNerdWear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at SoNerdWear. They've really stepped up the entire game for us. They now host all of our swag, so you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, cups. So you can go to SoNerdWear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, and you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order. Anything else?
I don't know. I think we actually got it all that time.
It helps when you write things down.
It does.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.